Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
One thin September sun, a floating continent disappears in midnight sun. Vapors rise as fever settles on an acid sea.
I squirmed to try and get out of his grasp, telling him to stop, down several times, and I finally told him and said, "You're being a crazy sex poodle," hoping that he'd realize how weird he was being, yet he persisted.
Neptune's bones dissolve. Snow glides from the mountain. Ice fathers floods for a teasing, a hard rain comes quickly. Then dirt is parched, kindling is placed in the forest.
He was much stronger than me, bigger than me, and insistent. It was completely unnerving, and I realized that resistance was making him giggle and pursue more strongly.
One thin September soon, a floating condom disappears in midnight sun.
Floating condom disappears in the midnight sun? Did he actually say that?
Neptune's
a floating continent disappears in the midnight
snow
sun.
Snow glides from the mountain. Ice fathers floods for a season.
Well, I guess this is really an inconvenient truth, Al. I mean, you know, this is kind of life imitating art, or is it life imitating BS? This is really an inconvenient truth, what you have on your hands now, Al. So, play. You know what I'm doing? I'll tell you what I'm doing. After the Elena Kagan corned beef hearings, we'll call them affectionately the corned beef on club hearings, where a deli woman is now being foisted on the Supreme Court by Obama, who is conducting a blitzkrieg today with regard to illegal aliens. You know, you don't know which way to turn. This guy is running a blitzkrieg across our social mores, unlike any president in American history. And by the way, it's on purpose. Before you recover from the Elena Kagan corned beef hearings, bang, he slaps you in the face with the grant amnesty to illegal aliens. But listen to the whopper he tried to tell today. He had the nerve, Obama, to say that all immigrants should be defined by past generations of immigrants. And he tries to compare the scientific breakthroughs of Albert Einstein, the inventions of Nikola Tesla, and the great ventures of Andrew Carnegie with this generation of illegal aliens. First of all of those immigrants were here legally. I guess to Obama, the difference between legal and illegal is just a matter of whether or not his attorney general will determine whether it's legal or illegal. In other words, there's no difference. He defines what the law is. That's number one. Are you telling me the illegal immigrants of today are on the level of Einstein? That we have millions of brilliant scientists streaming over the border from Mexico? We have dozens of Andrew Carnegies smuggling over the border in vans so they can found the next U.S. steel? Who the hell does Obama think he's talking to? Now, what I want to do now is back up. It's July 4th weekend coming up. People don't care, and that's why Obama's allowed to run his blitzkrieg across America's values and traditions on such a rapid pace. It's a blitzkrieg unlike any ever seen in American history, and before you recoil from the last shock, he rolls another one over you. The tank brigades, the panzers come out of the White House war room, and they roll over you on another front. So there it is. That's why I'm playing a Christmas in July called Sleigh Bells by who was that by? I forgot already. Leroy Anderson. So let's play some Sleigh Bells, because I can use them. I don't know about you. Well, thank you. What can I tell you? How are you, ladies and gentlemen? Are you bored about hearing... Are you bored listening to the exposure of Obama's blitzkrieg across America's values and traditions day after day? Have you tuned out of conservative radio and television? Because even though you know that we're right, you feel that Obama's blitzkrieg cannot be stopped. Would you rather hear another story about Obama's blitzkrieg against our traditions and values, or would you rather have the sound of a dental drill? Hey, do we have the dental drill sound that I asked for? We were going to play it every time Obama speaks. Let me hear the dental drill, if we have it, if we bringing it up. Oh, God, no, stop. You did get it. I said people would rather listen to a dental drill than Obama speak, let alone Elena Kagan. All right, let's play clip 12, and then we'll go to the dental drill. Let's hear it.
Of course, the tensions around immigration are not new. On the one hand, we've always defined ourselves as a nation of immigrants, a nation that welcomes those willing to embrace America's precepts. Indeed, it is this constant flow of immigrants that helped to make America what it is. The scientific breakthroughs of Albert Einstein, the inventions of Nikola Tesla, the great ventures of Andrew Carnegie's U.S. Steel and Sergey Brin's Google Inc.
Listen, he's all putting Google on the same level as Albert Einstein now. Now, this is really good. This is something that only Nancy Pelosi would approve of. So now he is saying that the illegal immigrants of today are on the level of Einstein, and that many of those millions running around with leaf blowers, if only they were given the opportunity, they would be as brilliant as Albert Einstein. Moreover, those with leaf blowers and those bringing in the mules, the bringing in the drugs over the border, if only they were given a chance, they would found the next U.S. Steel. This is amazing stuff. I've never heard anything like this. I actually don't know who's writing this stuff, but it sounds to me like they're starting to use the product that they're letting across the border. Eugene in New York, welcome to the Savage Nation, WOR. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Dr. Savage, for coming in on a nice day outside.
What do you think? I'm supposed to do it. That's what I'm paid for.
Yeah. Well, you know.
No, truthfully, I'd rather not come in on it. I'd rather get dental work than listen to Obama.
True. Everyone would. I've been listening to you since 1996 when I heard you on the radio the first time, and I haven't ever missed a show. And I've listened to the rebroadcast because it's an education worth listening to twice.
Luigi, wait. You're in New York, but I started in San Francisco. Where did you hear me in 96?
Right, but I was out in California at that time, and I moved.
Oh, you escaped. You escaped from California.
Right. And I kept moving east. And
isn't that funny? It's instead of go west, young man, it became go east, young man, to get away from the hordes of illegal aliens that were sweeping across the west.
And I saw the wages going down and knew it was just a matter of time. So,
I think I remember you. Are you in the high tech business where your job was stolen from you by the wonderful people on in Silicon Valley who are bringing an H-1B visa people from India to cut your salary in half?
I wasn't that gentleman, but I do have a wonderful story for you that I'll probably try to call in tomorrow, the next day when there's not as many people calling in because they're on holiday.
Oh, yeah. Tomorrow already they're on the barbecue brigade.
Right. So I have.
Yeah, they got the grill ready. They got the shorts. They got the hat. How did you feel listening to the corned beef hearings yesterday, the Elena Kagan corned beef hearings?
Yeah, that's interesting, the way they just keep doing it and pushing it along like it's a given thing. Either the House, the Senate, the Republicans, the Democrats, they don't care. They just keep pushing it down the river like it's...
Who do you think picked this unqualified radical leftist for the Supreme Court? And what do they expect out of this radical leftist on the Supreme Court once she is there?
They expect amazing things that she'll do for her Wizard of Oz master, Obama.
Well, here's the thing. She's going to be a guaranteed left-wing fanatic, as is the man she's replacing, who is sometimes occasionally able to vote down the middle. She'll never vote down the middle. That's number two. There are rumors now that Ruth Bader Ginsburg is about to retire, so that'll be three radicals that Obama picks. That doesn't leave too many, does it? And my fear, and you want me to make a prediction on this show? I'll make a prediction right now. I predict that within the next 2.5 years, one of the other members of the Supreme Court, even one of the younger members who was a moderate conservative, will either retire or, let us say, leave the Supreme Court for other reasons.
Yeah, I agree. That's probably what's coming.
And once he stocks the Supreme Court with the vermin from the left that he's been putting on that Supreme Court, we are finished in this country forever.
Because they're going to rule the land.
Well, all they have to do is say, you know what, term limits of 8 years, that was then, you know, that was World War II era stuff. We don't need term limits. We're like Idi Amin. We want a lifetime appointment so we can really, really transform America. We need a lifetime. He's a young man. He's a vigorous man. And this guy is better than those old white men. So let's eliminate term limits. Supreme Court, sure, checkmate. Check, 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 check. And that's the end of it. He'll be president for the next 40 or 50 years.
And with Obama here working on the immigration, they have an immediate vote coming their way that they know they
Well, he has to be stopped. Here's what I'm saying. If he has the audacity to try to grant amnesty to 30 million illegal aliens, I don't care by number one, there has to be an immediate appeal to the Supreme Court, number three, while we still have a Supreme Court. That's all there is to it. There's no way in the world they have the power to bypass America's immigration laws simply because they want the votes. And all we've got to do is bring 1,000 or 10,000 lawsuits and get one of them to the Supreme Court, and this will be thrown out. And that's what has to happen. Remember, FDR also tried power grabs, and he was stopped over and over again. The biggest case is the one I talked about, the Schechter brothers, the four kosher butchers in New York. Remember that story? How little butchers who were put in jail by FDR came out of jail and sued him and actually stopped one of his major social programs. Do you remember that case?
Oh, yes.
Over a kosher chicken. I'll be right back.
Savage.
To this day, America reaps incredible economic rewards because we remain a magnet for the best and brightest from across the globe. Folks travel here in the hopes of being a part of a culture of entrepreneurship
and
ingenuity.
Stop for a minute. I would rather have dental work than listen to this liar. We reap the benefits of being the magnet to the best and the brightest around the world. That's why one-third of all prisoners are illegal aliens who came here to murder, kill, rape. Are you kidding me? Where is he getting this garbage from? He is telling you that the people there with leaf blowers, if only they were made legal, they would suddenly become Albert Einstein and Andrew Carnegie? This is beyond, I don't understand how anybody can believe a word of it. Wait, it gets worse. Nancy Pelosi, who has to be the most hated woman in American history, had the nerve to say that the best way to create jobs is to increase unemployment checks. Does anyone understand that we're dealing with perhaps an insane administration? There's something wrong with this picture. Nobody believes a word Obama says, except people who work for him or who benefit directly from him. Everybody knows that Nancy Pelosi is a damn laughingstock, and yet these people are running us off the rails. I know it's July 4th weekend. I know we're all supposed to relax. But Obama's blitzkrieg against our values and traditions keeps rolling along. Before you can even digest the fact that he's foisted a totally unqualified radical leftist onto the Supreme Court, which is a given already, given the sad and paltry behavior of the Republicans, with the exception of Jeff Sessions, the next second he caters to the La Raza gang that has taken over America. The La Raza gang wants their due now. One day after another, the blitzkrieg keeps rolling along. Now he pulls out the big panzers. The big panzers are going to get ready to roll over you and crush you if you stand up against illegal immigration. He has the nerve to say that the Arizona law is unconstitutional and unenforceable. He has the nerve to say that he cannot secure the border. You know, if he says that the borders are too vast to secure, he frankly should be impeached because he is the president of the United States. If he does not know how to secure the borders, he is incompetent to be the president of the United States. Any president who really wanted to secure the borders could do so in about 60 days. That's what our U.S. military is for. We should take them the hell out of Germany and put them on the border with Mexico. They'd be very secure indeed. That is utter nonsense. It's rubbish. I've said what I'm going to say. I realize it's a little loud and forceful for most of you who have your mind already on the grill. You got the propane and the gas. You're ready for the gas job this weekend. And that's all. I don't blame you. I really don't blame you if you don't want to listen to any of this. Truthfully, I understand you feel like you're living in a hopeless situation with a radical gang that has seized control of this country. It's as though, you know, we've been occupied by a foreign... Let's start with this. Let me run this by you. If a foreign government that was, let us say, mildly dictatorial and mildly opposed to America's freedoms had taken over America a year and a half ago, do you think they could have moved any faster than Obama has done without it provoked the revolution? No. Did you hear what I just said? Let me repeat it in case you missed it. If a foreign government took over America a year and a half ago, when President Barack Hussein Obama was foisted upon the American people, do you think they would have moved any faster than he has done so to this date without having provoked a would have happened? In other words, let's say a foreign government, you pick one that you want, pick your choice. China took over America. There would have been an armed resistance in this country along the lines of what you're seeing in Afghanistan. There are millions of armed people in this country who would never tolerate an armed invasion. They would fight to the last man rather than roll over to the communist Chinese. But when you have a foreign government taking over America with an enemy within administration like this, they virtually can get away with anything they're doing. That's because they put you asleep, because they control the propaganda. The news media today is the propaganda ministry of Obama. You know it and I know it. How else could a person as unqualified as Elena Kagan have been pushed this far without a vet? As I said to you yesterday on the show, I understand that he's going to replace a liberal with a liberal. We expect that. But to replace a reasonable liberal who had been, by the way, a veteran of the armed services, with a radical, street radical from a street radical father in New York City, somebody who only the ACLU could have approved of, shows you how far we have fallen as a nation that this would even be accepted. To show you that we have an oligarchy and we do not have a two-party system, you don't have to look any further than the hearings, the false hearings, the corned beef hearings, as I call them. They were a disgrace. If ever you had a scintilla of respect for the Republican Party, I would suggest you tear up that respect and flush it down the toilet, because they did nothing yesterday to act as an opposition party. It was a disgrace to watch Lindsey Graham in particular, himself a trial lawyer, literally pandering to this creature from Harvard.
Savage.
Being an American is not a matter of blood or birth. It's a matter of faith. It's a matter of fidelity to the shared values that we all hold so dear. That's what makes us unique. That's what makes us strong. Anybody can help us write the next great chapter in our history.
That's why they wave Mexican flags at sporting events, because they have such great faith and fidelity to our shared values. It's unbelievable to me. It is astonishing to me that people will even put up with this. For the man to say that he cannot secure the borders is indicative of the fact that he's admitted failure as a president. His number one job is to protect us. Our national security is the number one job of the federal government. And if he's unwilling to defend us, then he should either resign or should be impeached, in plain English. And I don't understand how you don't see what I'm saying to be true. I don't see how you don't see these truths to be self-evident, to put it in another term. And so therefore I say to you, Obama to say that illegal aliens are waiting to become Einstein and Andrew Carnegie is beyond comprehension. He wasn't satisfied with nationalizing the banks. He wasn't satisfied with his blitzkrieg across the automobile industry. He wasn't satisfied with his blitzkrieg across the insurance industry. He wasn't satisfied with his blitzkrieg across the healthcare landscape. He wasn't satisfied with his attempted blitzkrieg across the Supreme Court. The very next second, the man wakes up with a flash in his eye. He wants to give amnesty to 20 or 30 million illegal aliens. This baby dictator is desperate. He has lost the American people, as has the Democrat Party. And they desperately need 30 million votes to push them over the top in November. He believes the illegals can give him that. And I am telling you right now that if they try to pull this scam on you, you have the power that you may not even be aware of. You have the power to redress your grief. But more importantly, you have the power to bring a lawsuit against this president and this administration and get it to the Supreme Court prior to the elections. That's right. You have the power to stop this man the way the Schechter brothers stopped FDR from his Stalin-like takeover of the American government in the 1940s. Many of you don't know who FDR was. He was a president who was a socialist who admired Joseph Stalin in the 1930s. He tried to enact some of the same plans of the dictators of the 1930s, centralizing government, aggrandizing more power in the executive branch, dismissing any opponents as this and that. He kept grabbing and grabbing more power until he stepped on the wrong toes. And those toes were four brothers, I believe, ran a little kosher butcher, wholesale kosher butcher operation in New York City. And the government said, you can't sell a certain number of chickens wholesale and a certain number retail. And they said, the heck with you. We have to do that in order to stay in business. They did it. FDR's minions had the brothers arrested. When they got out of prison, they took it to the Supreme Court. And the U.S. Supreme Court overrode FDR, and an entire program along the lines of something of a major level was eliminated by the Supreme Court. So dictators have been stopped in the past. Many people say that Obama's in the footsteps of FDR. I would only hope that those are the only footsteps he's in the footsteps of. I don't think so. I think he's in the footsteps of tyrants far greater than FDR. But the point I'm making is that we have a system of checks and balances. We have a U.S. Supreme Court that is still 5-4. And God help us all. God help us all if he foists it in the other direction and makes it 5-4. WOR calls out of New York City. WOR, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
It is like a tooth extraction, Michael, to listen to him. You know, it really is. He speaks in these terms that the normal person cannot understand. I think he purposely does that to be evasive. But, you know, it is archaic and a bit short-sighted to prop any one man up there and have him make all the decisions for us, because after all, we're supposed to be set apart from the rest.
That's
exactly
who the hell said that he's a king? When did this man become a dictator? Where the hell is the Republican Party? You never hear a word out of their mouth.
Well, with a wave of a pen, Michael, he can pass an executive order with it for just about anything. So he cannot.
He can do that, but he can be overridden by the U.S. Supreme Court, which is more supreme than any dictator. That's why it was set up that way, to prevent the dictator from arising in this country. We overthrew a king, the King of England. We do not want another kingship in this country, but this man is such a narcissist, such an egomaniac, such a power mad man that he's liable to try anything.
And the Republicans are no better, you know that? They're really a bunch of...
Well, okay, let's pull back. Of course they're no better. How long have I called it the Democrats or Republicrats? Since 1994 when I started in radio. It's a one-party system. What you have to notice is that four of the most powerful businessmen in the world just last week got together and declared they wanted amnesty for illegal aliens. Do you notice that immediately after the Kagan-Cornbeef hearings, Obama is now doing what they want done? Four of the biggest... billionaires in America want amnesty for illegal aliens. Do you think they want it for reasons of social justice, Ralph?
It's the almighty dollar, Michael. We know that. Wherever the green goes, we follow. You know, and it's really unfortunate because we're going right down the tubes. We really are.
You know, what's his name? The guy with the sweater from Seattle who pretends he's a nice guy like Mr. Rogers, Microsoft, Bill Gates.
Yeah.
Why would he want amnesty for illegal aliens? Think about it. Why? What does he benefit? How does he directly benefit?
Well, just what I just had gotten through saying. I mean, like he needs more money. Like there's, like he doesn't. When is enough enough? But you know, that's a situation.
Well, that's right. There's a power madness that has nothing to do with money. It's a separate factor. Why would George Soros, admittedly one of the wealthiest men on earth, age 77, need more billions of dollars? He doesn't. He likes the power. A man like that is supposed to be stopped by a legitimate democratic government. He is not supposed to be catered to by letting him foist a president on us that we never heard of 2 years ago.
But also the mental disorder that you speak of, Soros has it in spades. I mean, here's a guy who's made an absolute king's ransom here, but yet he hates everything this country stands for. He sickens me more than anybody else.
Well, let's not go into that. We understand where he's coming from. But the question is, can they rule us so absolutely without any opposition? With a Republican Party in place of this nature, the answer is probably yes. It's going to go back to the 70s. There used to be a saying that was popular in liberal quarters. I used to see it on bumper stickers in Berkeley. And it said, when the leaders will not lead the people must lead the leaders. My friends, these leaders are not leading the people. They're pushing these people, meaning pushing us. We have to lead the leaders. We must fight them tooth and nail. We must take them into the courts. We must sue them on a daily basis like the Schechter brothers did. Mississippi Kevin, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Dr. Savage, I had a theory I want to run by you in reference to your Blitzkrieg remark, and that is this. I believe you're exactly right, but I believe much like Adolf Hitler, Barack Hussein Obama has made a fatal mistake in moving too quickly, too fast. And I believe the American people, and it shows in the polling.
Well, let's pause. What has he done? What do you? Well, I know who you're talking about, certainly, and I don't bring the comparison up lightly. He is not like Adolf Hitler in any way other than in his political desires to rule absolutely. I would grant you that. But I have compared him more aptly to Mussolini than to Hitler. I think a comparison to Mussolini would be more apt than it would be to Hitler, who had death camps and such. What mistake do you think Obama has made, and where did he move too fast?
Well, he used much, if not nearly all of his capital on health care. And he did parlor tricks, backroom deals, strong-arming, bribing.
Yes, that's right. He bribed senators to get the socialized medicine through. And in doing so, he destroyed the Democrat Party, with the exception of the illegal aliens, who they think is the ace up their sleeve.
And, Michael, in doing all this, he has pretty much besmirched and taken the House and Senate down to where the American people don't hardly respect it anymore, whether by design or by accident.
But do you think that they care? Didn't you hear the self-satisfied bad jokes yesterday at the Kagan hearings, as though they were still the dignified ladies and gentlemen with their curtsying and bowing? Didn't you hear them amongst each other thinking that they're still God Almighty?
Well, this is the end of my theory, and this is where I wanted to get your take on it, is this. If Obama was just the leader of the German army moving into Russia during the winter, and the winter is November 2nd, and that's the voting time for Americans, I believe that's our time where we have to win that battle.
I agree. That is certainly a possibility. But look at what he's doing. He's lining up his reserve troops prior to that battle. His reserve troops getting ready for that battle are the illegal aliens. Don't you see what he's doing? He's lining them up in the winter clothing so they can ski right over the opposition called the American people. Don't you see what this man is doing?
Michael, do you really believe in all that you've seen that he could get something as extensive and massive as immigration policy through in just a matter of a few months? I mean, I don't know. I'm asking.
I'm sorry. You'll have to reposition the question. I didn't quite understand it.
Do you believe that he could get something as massive as immigration reform, with the main component being amnesty, through in just a matter of months?
There are rumors that his Stepford wife, Janet Napolitano, who was handpicked because she is a pliant. After all, she was the governor of a major state, and she let the illegals run across her state, wasn't she? Now she was picked for Homeland Security because she has the same exact position on a broader scale. This is all planned step by step. Don't think this happened overnight. The question is, can they do it? Sure, with the stroke of a pen, he can do anything. The question is, will it be upheld? And who will oppose him? Do you actually think there'll be a Republican opposition? Do you think that will happen?
I believe the opposition will be from the people, Michael, not a party.
I believe that that's what he wants. Watch out for this character. Watch out for his gang. Martial law, so they can take away your guns, take away your freedom of speech, and declare an emergency in the country. Watch out. This man is capable of anything, and this man is liable to anything to advance this man's desire to be an absolute monarch in his own time. That's my opinion. It's only one man's opinion. You may or may not agree with it, but it's still a free country. And that's how I see it, and I don't think I'm alone. San Diego, Joe, you're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, yeah, I think the same way that he thinks he's a king. He doesn't behave like an elected politician. He behaves more like when you see him, it's like...
Do you notice that every time he gets something, the next day, he comes up with another major initiative, and he speaks with that booming voice as though it's law already?
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't think that anybody can question him. He's above.
He does not even... All of his speeches are not written with any desire to appeal to the people. They're written as though they're fact, and that this is the way it is, and this is the way it's going to be. This is the first time in modern history that we've had a man who would be a dictator. And I'm telling you, it's going to get much more dangerous before it gets less dangerous. He's going to go around Congress and instruct Big Sis Napolitano to improve our enforcement policy without having to wait for a new law. What the hell does that mean? What does he mean by improve our enforcement policy without having to wait for a new law? What does that mean? It means he's going to instruct his Stepford wife, Big Sis Napolitano, let more illegals slip through the cracks so they can deliver more votes for the Democrats. That is what he's going to do. And this is the real challenge right now. And as I said to you, I wake up each day and I feel like the Frenchman in that famous picture after the Germans had invaded Paris and had walked under the Arch de Triomphe. I feel as though we have had an invasion from a foreign enemy who has taken over this country. That's how sick I feel every day when I get up and see what he and Pelosi and Reid are doing to this nation on a daily basis. I'm not doing this for effect. And if I were alone in this, and if I were the only one who said this and who felt this, I would leave radio and I would say, maybe I've gotten too emotional. Maybe I'm too involved with this. I'm too close to it. And maybe it's time for me to retire from it and leave it to somebody else. But I speak with people who are themselves knowledgeable. Some of them are extremely wealthy. Some are not wealthy. And every last one of them, including some who voted for this character, are telling me the same thing. They see a dangerous, out-of-control would-be dictator. What do you think? I'll be back. Savage. Yeah. Well, we can also review a little bit of what went on. The comedic attempt, the corned beef hearings over the last few days of this unqualified at any weight nominee Kagan, who insulted Christians and Jews with her remark about Chinese restaurants the other day. Let's hear that in 27.
I'm assuming that the question you mean is whether a person who was apprehended in the United States is...
No, I just asked you where you were at on Christmas.
You know, like all Jews, I was probably at a Chinese restaurant.
Great answer.
Isn't that a great answer? Isn't that wonderful to see the class that we're getting on the Supreme Court? It just makes me feel so good to see how Obama has upgraded the class of people that he's dragging out from Harvard and putting them in positions of high power. Now, as I say, there are three professors at Harvard who I disagree with politically, who are distinguished scholars in the legal field. They have written books. They have written articles. I might oppose them politically. I certainly would not respect them politically in that regard. But I wouldn't feel the way I do with this unqualified at any weight Kagan, who has never written a book, who has never written one significant legal finding in her entire life. She is a factotum. She is a shill. She is a stooge of the same machine that is trying to move us into international law and move us away from our own constitution. She is anti-life. She is anti-family. She is anti-constitutional. She's anti-police, anti-military, anti-gun. Do you think this woman belongs on the Supreme Court? Of course she doesn't. But the ACLU put one on before. Her name is Ruth Bader Ginsburg. This one makes Ruth Bader Ginsburg look like a distinguished legal scholar by comparison. And so, again, as I say, we're watching this country go down the tubes on a daily basis. Right after he gets through pushing this unqualified Kagan down our throats, the very next day we wake up, and there he is. O's blitzkrieg rolls along, crushing America's values and traditions in its wake. He brings out the heavy tanks on the illegal alien question. He comes up with one lie after another. One lie after another, saying that if only the illegal aliens who were here were granted amnesty, we would have Albert Einstein and Andrew Carnegie all over again. Now, who in the world would believe a thing like that? Nobody would believe a thing like that. And so we don't know what's liable to happen tomorrow, but we know that he's going to try it one way or another. Betsy in Houston, you're on the Savage Nation. What do you think? Am I right or wrong?
You're exactly right, and I'm so glad I got a chance to talk with you. And I hope I'm not screaming, but it's raining really bad here, and I'm trying to drive through traffic. I'm an African American woman, an accountant for an engineering and construction firm here in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And I just really want people to know out there that not all African Americans voted for Barack Obama, despite what the liberal media has portrayed us as.
Well, Betsy, we know that not all Jews go to Chinese restaurants on Christmas either, the way Kagan would like you to believe. She suddenly speaks for all Jews now. Do you understand? I mean, you do understand the egomania of these people.
Yeah, I mean, it's insane. I feel like I'm in a nightmare, and I'm not able to wake up. I just don't know how this guy got elected.
Right. That's exactly right. There were people of African descent who were qualified for high office. He was not one of them.
No, not at all. I mean, he's phony. You can see through him. I can't even watch the man talk.
No, I can't either. I think America now looks at him and they're very uncomfortable watching him. They were enamored of him in the beginning because Bush was so inarticulate for 8 straight years. It became a national disgrace to listen to Bush mangle the English language. So a man came along with a phenomenal voice and a wonderful capacity for articulation, and we were infatuated with him. Of course, I knew what his politics were, and I wasn't infatuated with him in that regard because this is my profession. But most Americans go for style, not substance, and they voted for him. But the fact is, I think they've awakened to the nightmare, as you have.
It's sad. I mean, I didn't want to vote for McCain. I didn't think he was a great choice either. He's not conservative enough. But
right. McCain was put up there to lose the election. I believe McCain was a fall guy for the Republican Party because the oligarchy wanted Obama to do the things to this country that Bush could not get away with. Remember, Bush and McCain tried to grant amnesty to illegal aliens. Let's not forget that. The oligarchy wants the illegals to have amnesty. Do you understand that? Oligarchy, the moneyed class.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Get out of his grasp, telling him to stop down several times, and I finally told him and said, "You're being a crazy sex poodle."
1:10 September soon, a floating continent disappears in midnight sun. Vapors rise as fever settles on acid sea. Neptune's bones dissolve.
So here we go. Here we go. Obama's blitzkrieg rolls across the American landscape, relentlessly pursuing his objectives. The American people, matter not, we are like the kulaks in Russia as the panzers roll across our farms. That's what the oligarchs want, and that's what their general brings. Across America's values and traditions rolls the Obama amnesty wagon. In the midst of it all, we have the entertainment of the corned beef hearings for Kagan. And today, of course, we have another distraction, the bread and roses that the media provides us, this time in the form of Al Gore's crazed sex poodle. So those are some of the topics. It's endless. It gets even better. The deranged woman named the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, either she's crazy. I don't know what she is. She had the nerve today to say, well, you listen to this.
Now, let me say about unemployment insurance, we talk about it as a safety net and the rest. This is one of the biggest stimuluses to our economy. Economists will tell you this money is spent quickly. It injects demand into the economy and is job creating. It creates jobs faster than almost any other
now
initiative.
I ask you, do you think this woman is qualified to be the Speaker of the House of the United States of America? She says unemployment checks are the fastest way to create jobs. Now, let's see if we can even decipher what she means. How can somebody who's told not to work because the government will support you, how does that create jobs? Does anyone understand this? Perhaps I'm not. How does this create jobs? What jobs would be created? Is this woman deranged, or is she just laughing? Is she just mocking us all? You know, I believe Nancy Pelosi should be collecting unemployment. I don't know what explains the woman's statements. Do you think she has increased her credibility or decreased her credibility? Why would you get a job if the government is going to pay you not to get a job? Huh? When the government gives you a set amount of weeks to be on unemployment, most people will stay on unemployment until the very last day, and then all of a sudden they will find a job. Nancy Pelosi is deranged. Does anyone believe she is in touch with reality, or do you think that she is simply doing this to entertain herself? In other words, by granting unemployment to people, it's going to create jobs? I believe that scientists should look into the... we know that Botox freezes the emotions as well as the facial expression. That came out in the scientific literature 2 weeks ago. That not only does Botox freeze the facial expressions to a bare minimum, but it turns out it also freezes the emotions themselves. I would suspect... Thank you. I would suspect that a scientist can make a name for himself if he were to investigate as to the damage Botox might be causing to the thinking process. Unemployment checks are the fastest way to create jobs. Can anyone name any jobs created by unemployment checks? I think that if we had an opposition party and they ran this and they ran Obama's amnesty program for illegals and they ran his sound bites when he was forcing health care down our throat, et cetera, and so on, they'd lose 100 seats in Congress this fall. But I don't expect that from the likes of Lindsey Graham. You expect that from Mitch McConnell? Oh, there are some wonderful senators out there. Jeff Sessions is my hero. I'd back him for president. Most Americans never heard of him. He's the real McCoy. Congressmen, some of the best in American history right now are functioning. I can name 10, 15, 20. The great congressman from Texas who has been trying to help get my name off the list of banned individuals in the United Kingdom. Remember that wonderful man, John Culberson of Texas? Well, guess what? He hasn't stopped being a great man and a great American. There are those who are fighting this battle for us, but you never hear from them because the propaganda is so powerful. The government media complex is so awesome that it's almost impossible for the good ones to be heard. And so on those notes, let's play some Christmas in July music. I woke up thinking about that this morning for some reason. It came to my head. The music came into my mind along with the images of Isabelle Huppert. And I couldn't put two and two together until I got on the air. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. What does she? What does Isabelle Huppert have to do with the sleigh music? I didn't know the French even went on sleighs, frankly. This is sort of an in-house thing for me. What else do we have? What are you going to do for July 4th? How are you going to celebrate it? You want to do that? You want to do girl talk? I mean, did you hear Klobuchar, Senator Klobuchar, ask Kagan about the movie Twilight at a hearing for a Supreme Court nomination that will have bearing on our life for the next 40 or so years? Who is Senator Klobuchar? How did she become a senator? That's all I can say is eh. Okay, so we have Obama on this, and we have Kagan making a joke about Christmas. We have the montage of Elena Kagan. We have Obama's amnesty for illegal aliens. Oh, here's a good one. Teddy, stop it. My dog is even getting upset from this. Another wonderful prize of genius in the Democrat Party is a fellow named Gerald Nadler from New York. Gerald Nadler is a gentleman from, I think, the Sheepshead Bay area of Brooklyn, which unto itself is not a crime, who, you know, a guy went on a way. He went on Al Sharpton's weight loss diet over the last year or two, and he slimmed up. He is now saying that he's afraid that thousands of people could die from the oil cleanup, and he wants the oil cleanup stopped. Listen to clip 11.
Already we're hearing of people getting sick because of the use of these chemicals. In fact, there's already anecdotal evidence that people are getting sick from the mixture of oil and toxic dispersants. We are basically airdropping this toxic stuff all over the Gulf. It reminds me of Agent Orange, and I'm greatly concerned that during this cleanup, we are conducting an uncontrolled experiment with all the marine and human life in the Gulf Coast region.
Oh, that's he loves the word marine. He makes the thinks he's in the Army when he says that. Now, I would suggest that the closest Nadler has come to marine life would be fishing for herring in barrels on Delancey Street in his youth. I'll be right back. Savage.
When I began doing the requested abdominal work on him, he became somewhat vocal. With muffled moans, etc., he began demanding that I go lower and massaging on the abdominal area. I was shocked, and I did not massage beyond what is considered a safe non-sexual area of the abdomen. He further insisted
in
angry, becoming verbally sharp and loud. I went into much deeper shock as I realized it appeared he was demanding sexual favors or sexual behaviors. I decided to declare I got so freaked I just got... But I got a tiny bit mad under my terror. I decided to clarify things by asking him, as he angrily complained that I was not doing what he wanted, for him to show me exactly what he wanted me to do, such as wear a massage. I said, well, why don't you show me? Because I thought, this is too nuts. He grabbed my right hand hard, shoved it down under the sheet to his pubic hair area, and said to me, there, in a very sharp, loud, angry-sounding tone.
Now that, she is talking about the man who would save the world from global warming. You know, there's a bit of psychology here. And aside from the salaciousness and the jokes and the comedic nature of it, one could do a reasonable thesis in psychology on a man so obsessed with the concept, the false concept of global warming when there is none, and his own heat, his own body heat, his own mental heat. In other words, this man is in heat all the time. He's horny, in other words, frustrated. And here's a man who's rich and powerful, right, revered by millions, and he can't get any sex. So he goes to some poor masseuse and tries to get, you know, release. And he picks the wrong one. He actually picks a straight one, the one out of 1,000 that's actually in it for the massage, as opposed to the... Listen to the next one in clip 5.
He was moaning, groaning, moving, and acting in a very suggestive way. It was unreal. I never even had any of my hotel clients get angry, yell, or act out at me before. During the massage episode, I realized, much to my horror, that I was in the perfect storm and that I was in a room with someone who was Teflon-coated in terms of his credibility and celebrity status.
All right, so again, this is amazing how stupid these rich guys, you know, it's amazing to me when you compare this one to a Spitzer, that who would be so stupid as to go to hookers and pay on credit cards, number one. And this was a man who supposedly had the power over Wall Street, to show you how brilliant Spitzer was. He was the governor of New York, he had the power over Wall Street, and he's so smart that he used the credit card to buy hookers. That shows you the genius. He didn't even think of using cash, let's say. So he used the credit card and got caught, and he's such a genius that CNN hired him. He's perfect for CNN. Now, the only place left for Al Gore to go would be CNN after this one, because what's coming next is something that you would hear in Marin County, California, or Austin, Texas, or some of the other denizens of idiocy, when he goes into another tactic to try to get her to touch him in inappropriate areas in clip 6.
He then tried another tactic as though he had very suddenly switched personalities and began in a pleading tone, pleading for release of his second chakra there. There's so much.
Wait, stop it. Now, for those of you who don't know what a second chakra is, we're not talking about S-H-O-C-K-R-A, not chakra. In other words, not chakra. In other words, not his second chakra, meaning you release him and he has a shock and he goes ra. No, not his second chakra. His second chakra, which is a different story. But you have to be an expert on Indian food to understand that. And you have to go into Oriental restaurants and bow and put your hands together to get a napkin and a glass of water in order to understand what a chakra is. So play that one again.
He then tried another tactic as though he had very suddenly switched personalities and began in a pleading tone, pleading for release of his second chakra there. There's so much tension being held. This was yet another euphemism for sexual activity he was requesting, put cleverly as though it were a spiritual request or something. I was further deeply shocked and repulsed as my realization of what was happening sunk in, and especially as my mind was now reeling from this absolute betrayal by someone I had inherently trusted as a good guy who cares about people, including me, because of his public persona.
So she was shocked by his chakra. Let's put it to you that way. The masseuse was shocked by Gore's chakra. That's all. That's the headline. Shocked by his chakra. Accuser calls him a crazed sex poodle. I have to hide this from my poor dog. If he hears any of this, it could pervert him. This is really good stuff. This is great. You know, actually, we missed the first one because there are men like this that I've seen all my life. They've always given me the creeps, and I'm a man, by the way. The kind of guy that if you're a woman, have you been in social settings with the kind of guy who will hug you and hold you a little too tight and pull you towards him and you know what I'm saying? Like, I know women over the years, there are kind of creepy guys who are always like goofballs who don't really have, you know, luck with women, who when they hug a woman, they either hug them too tightly or they pull them against them too tightly and don't let them go in order to feel their bosoms against their chest, to be very polite about it. Listen to clip two.
I knocked on the door. Al Gore opened the door, and I introduced myself, saying, "Hello, I'm your massage therapist. How shall I call you?" He answered, "Call me Al," with a big smile as he stretched out his arms to wrap me into an embrace as a greeting in the inner entryway of the room as I stepped inside. He was wearing a long-sleeved dress shirt. It was a medium bright blue, I think, open at the collar, and dark pants, which were slacks, I think. The hug went on a bit long, and I was taken just a bit aback by it. If it weren't Al Gore, I would have seriously been questioning the situation right there, because a hug from an unknown male client before the session is a bit odd and unprofessional by typical LMT business standards.
Did LMT? What's LMT? Does anyone know what LMT means? Ah, licensed massage, only in America, LMT. All right. Finally, we have the story of the exact muscle groups that he wanted worked on, the glutes, the hamstrings, the quads, and the adductors. Listen to clip three.
He described a grueling travel schedule over the previous week or two, mostly by air, and he said he needed his gluteus, hamstring, quadriceps, and adductors worked on, as well as his abdominal area besides his back and whole body. I inquired if this was due to the long flight hours, and he said yes. I mentally noted that a request for adductor work is a bit unusual. In the massage world, sometimes it is said to possibly, but rarely, be that it's a precursor to inappropriate behavior by male clients.
I never even knew where the adductors were. I remember when I was working out as a kid, I started out in the American Health Studios on Jamaica Avenue when I was 16. Pushing, you know, weights. I was a weightlifter as a kid. Yeah, I was a small kid, but I built myself up pretty good after high school. I go every day. I never even knew of the adductors. I didn't know where they were. I know I heard of the glutes and the lats, of course, the other standard muscles. We all worked on them, but I never heard of the adductors. That had we only known of adductors, we could have tried it on Friday night on our dates. You know what I'm saying? We could have said, "Touch me in my adductor." Where is the adductor? I didn't even. There must be one. It runs down the lower abs or something. The inside of the thigh, that's adductor work. All right, whatever, to each his own, you know, if it floats your boat and all that. I guess Al Gore gets off on having his adductors touched. But what does anyone find this naive in a way? The point of all of this kidding is this. What crime did he really commit? None. I mean, what's the big deal? Anyone who would be a masseuse is going to have a guy who occasionally wants what they politely call in Asia as a one-pointer, okay? There's nothing unusual about it. Secondly, if you're going to go into massage work, you're going to get the middle-aged man from time to time who hopes that you're going to give him what he... So what's the big deal? What did he really do here? I mean, I think that this is a scandal that's not a scandal, but it's a pleasant release, given that Obama is taking over America's a culture, borders, language, and culture on a daily basis. I don't know whether she has a case against him, frankly. Where is the crime here? Does anyone know where there's the crime? He didn't actually do anything that I know of. He only asked for it.
Savage.
Mati, keep in the art, tu hai sanum. Naina ka kajra, piya tera gham. Mati, keep in the art, tu hai sanum. Naina ka kajra.
He then tried another tactic as though he had very suddenly switched personalities and began in a pleading tone, pleading for release of his second chakra there. There's so much tension being held. This was yet another euphemism for sexual activity he was requesting, put cleverly as though it were a spiritual request or something.
Oh, cut in a global warming thing right after this. Please, you can grab one.
What was happening sunk in, and especially as my mind was now reeling from this absolute betrayal by someone I had inherently trusted as a good guy who cares about people, including me, because of his public persona.
1:10 September soon, a floating comet disappears in midnight sun. Vapors rise as fever settles on acid.
What did he really do? I mean, give the guy a break. You know, he's a middle-aged guy. He's got all this money and all this fame, with the people idolizing him, and he can't get any sex. Masseuse, you know, with all due respects to her. And 25 years later, she comes out of the woodwork and says that he did something in it. I don't really know what he did here. He had adductors that wanted a touching, and a glute, and a hamstring, and a quad, and an abdominal, and a back. So what? And he hugged her a little too long. So what? How does that differ from your Uncle Murray at weddings? No different. So I don't see what the crime is here. I'm not trying to be, you know, comedic in the political arena in that sense. She said that, well, listen to what she said in clip one now about him being a crazy sex poodle.
I squirmed to try and get out of his grasp, telling him to stop down several times. And I finally told him and said, "You're being a crazy sex poodle," hoping that he'd realize how weird he was being, yet he persisted. He was much stronger than me, bigger than me, and insistent. It was completely unnerving, and I realized that resistance was making him giggle and pursue more strongly.
So, but what did he do? I mean, is there a lawyer in the house? Did Al Gore actually commit a crime? Well, let's be clear here. Maybe you don't like him with the global warming lie and all that. That's one thing. But, you know, two rights don't make a wrong. What did he actually do here that is illegal, that I don't understand it? What did he do to this woman that's worthy of all of this scandal that suddenly flared up? And, you know, you have to ask yourself another question, which is, just as the spy scandal came out of nowhere, conveniently in time to cover up Obama trying to foist Kagan on us and his failure in the Gulf and blah, 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 and amnesty for illegals, so did the Gore sex scandal come up out of nowhere after it had been buried by the police in Oregon. So what is going on here in your mind? Why now? Number one, why now? Why is the sex scandal back up again? Number two, why? Did he commit a crime? Is there a lawyer who could tell me the crime he committed? I don't really just want to talk about Kagan anymore. I can't take it, or Obama the dictator. We know who he is, and I believe, like all dictators, he's going to eventually alienate the American people to such an extent that the party itself will move him out of the picture. They'll replace him in some way, and I don't know how. You know, that did happen in England. I write about it in my new book, which I'm so far ahead of the book coming out, I can't keep talking about it. But you should know that prior to the outbreak of World War II, there was a liberal running England who had made so many mistakes with Hitler that his own Labour Party threw him out and replaced him with another member of the Labour Party because he had become a liability. They said that he was not a good wartime leader, and they got rid of him. They got rid of him in the sense that they moved him out. They had a vote in those days. They could do that. Not in this country. We don't really have a democracy. A parliamentary system is far more democratic, because if we had a parliamentary system, I believe that we'd have elections. There would be a call for elections right now, and he'd be thrown out of office. I believe that Obama is so unpopular, far more so than even the most conservative polls would show, that if a new elections were held today, I believe that the Democrats would lose the presidency, let alone the House and the Senate. But we don't have a parliamentary system. See, I got your attention again. So all you want to hear about, it's very hard. I mean, it's very hard, you know. I mean, it's unbelievable to me. Here's another one. Mel Gibson's racist rant caught on tape. What's this now? Another? What racist tant? Mel Gibson's racist tant caught on tape tells Oksana she would get raped. Oh, come on now. Mel Gibson did this to his Russian girlfriend? In one of the most explosive, racist, and vile outbursts by a celebrity ever caught on tape, Mel Gibson told the mother of his love child that the way she was dressed would get a rape by a pack of, I can't even say the word. RadarOnline.com has learned exclusively. It's a shocking and blockbuster development in the couple's bitter legal battle, and Mel's disgusting words are on audio tape. His racist, misogynist statement is one of the secrets lurking in his war with his former girlfriend, Oksana Gregory. Anyone who has that many syllables in their last name, you know there's going to be trouble. Let me put it to you that way. At this point in American history, Mel Gibson has a two-syllable last name, Gibson, right? Anyone who has more than three or four syllables in their last name is going to sue you, so don't get involved with them. Let me start with that. They're out for your money. I mean, hello? What did Mel Gibson expect to come of a 24-year-old Russian? Hello? Oh, he expected true love for the rest of his life? He threw away a wife of 40 years and a wonderful Christian family for a roll in the hay, and look where he is today. His life is over. Remember Drunken Mel previously shocked the world with his anti-Semitic comments when busted for DUI, and everyone covered it up? They even had some stooges from the Jewish community come out and said, I never heard Mel Gibson make an anti-Semitic comment. I wonder what donation to what organization in Los Angeles got that one out of him. I wonder who's going to come out now and say, although he said this about, he's going to get rap stars to say he's really not that way? The new racist outburst has taken the Oscar winner to a level I don't think he can come back from. I believe this is bigger than the Gore thing. His outburst came during a series of explosive arguments with Oksana, mother of his infant daughter Lucia. They have been battling in court with documents under seal for... Oh, it's a horrible nightmare. You saw the one with the golfer? What, he paid $750 million for that Norwegian girl to get rid of her or her to get rid of him? I don't understand it. He said to her, there's more. In one outburst from Mel, Radar Online has listened to the hate-fueled rants the Braveheart star unleashed during fights with Oksana as their relationship unraveled. He screamed at her, you're an embarrassment to me. And if you get raped by a pack of bleep, it will be your fault. Mel's attorney told Radar Online that he is no longer commenting on the case and said Mel's publicist is the only Mel official who will speak for him. Mel's profane outbursts are littered with references to Oksana being I don't want to say, that's not fair, because it's a family show. This I can read. In another tirade, Mel tells the girlfriend, how dare you act like such a bee when I've been so once I'm down. Oh, my God. This guy really has it bad. I can't even read the next line. Mel, 54, and Oksana, she's 40? That's a hot number there, a 40-year-old? He couldn't have gone. I mean, you expect this from a 24-year-old. I thought she was 24. That's the best he could do? He knocked her up right away. She had a baby and didn't even marry her? They filed dueling restraining orders against each other on the seal. You know, the Bible was right. The wages of sin, my friend. It doesn't have to be literal death. His career is dead. He's over. There's no way for him to go. I mean, what can he do after this? The tapes did not make it clear what the couple was arguing about, but Mel tells Oksana, look what you did to me. Look what you are. Look what every part of you is. Fake. Photos. You are the most synthetic person. Who are you? He screamed. Most synthetic person. You hear this? From an actor. He also takes aim at Oksana's previous relation with former James Bond star Timothy Dalton, with whom she has a 13-year-old son, Alexander. Oksana claims she was forced to take Mel after he made a series of death threats. Oh, she was wired for him in the middle of an argument? Oh, my God, Maron, you talk about the enemy within. They're having an argument and she taped him? This is astounding to me. Oksana's motivation for recording this was to show Mel how mean he was, and because she feared for her life, said the insider. Yeah, no, it wasn't for money. You know what money's at stake here? Do you have any idea what's at stake? Man, this one set him up from the get-go. When cops arrested Gibson in 06 on suspicion of drunk driving, Mel barraged them with obscenities tried to escape, and spewed bizarre, responsible for all the wars in the world, said Mel. He also allegedly told a female officer, what do you think you're looking at? And I won't read the rest of it. The news sparked worldwide outrage, and the Mad Max star later apologized. Gibson has seven children with former wife Robin, with whom he split in 09 after 27 years of marriage for this Russian nafka. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. See, now, if only he had the self-control of Al Gore and he had gone to one of the massage parlors in L.A. and talked about his second chakra, it wouldn't have ended this way. It would have been a much more benign ending than this one. I mean, you know what I'm saying? A massage parlor, he would have gotten away with a second chakra, third chakra, fourth chakra, fifth chakra. Wouldn't have mattered which chakra. Nobody would have been shocked by it. But this kind of stuff, the racist rant, I don't think so. I don't think Gibson can come back from this one. And I got to tell you, I met the guy once. He was very nice to me. I don't know him. He seemed like a man, a regular man to me. His business. Everybody's racist. fact, everybody listening to the show has a tinge of racism in them. I'll stand by those words. I don't care what you say to me. Don't act like you're different than the man than someone else. Everybody in this room has a slight tinge of racism towards one race or another. It's the human condition. Some more so than others, okay? But, I mean, he didn't show any of that when I saw him. And I figured, so he got drunk and then the devil came out of him. So what? Big deal. It happens to all of us. Why? The devil doesn't come out in you if you have too much to drink? So you look the other way, big deal. But I think this one is going to finish him off. If you see what he actually said, that she's going to get raped by a pack of, and I can't even say the word, it's over. Because that area already is a much different area than the corned beef area. That's all I can tell you. I certainly don't think he's going to be forgiven by people in that particular arena. Let's put it to you that way. I think this is the end of the road. I don't understand this. Why would she sleep with him when he was married and think he was such a catch and get pregnant with their baby other than to snare him? You know, I just don't believe this. I just don't understand this one. These quotes are so vile that unless they were on tape, I wouldn't have believed them. I honest to God, I wouldn't have believed them. I just wouldn't believe that he would even say a thing like that. I don't think anybody, even a Russian Novka, deserves to be spoken to like this, especially in front of children. Even if she's a gold digger and she was out to get him, this level of abuse coming from an alcoholic. You see, the alcohol brought him down. He had been, yeah, I remember, you know, let's put it to you this way. Never mind what I remember. Let me put it to you this way. The man had been on the wagon for many, many years. And I believe that by slipping out of his methods of avoiding alcohol, his life was ruined. I think you have to say this is all related to alcohol. That's not forgiving him. But I've heard worse. Believe me, I've heard worse. I've seen worse on television than what he said. Coming out of the mouths of people of every race, by the way. It's a standard parlance amongst most men, incidentally. In case you don't know it. If you want to live in a fake world, go live in a fake world. But most men have, you know, words that come out of their mouths. They get drunk. They say certain things. Maybe they regret it. Maybe they don't. But unto itself, what does a word mean? Tell me what words really mean in reality. Was it really hurt somebody? I don't think so. But for a public figure like this, it's another story on tape. Because the American people are not going to permit, I would think, a celebrity of this status to walk from this one. Now, let's go back to the Gore thing for 1 minute. Let's revisit the thing with the chakras and the massage and the glutes and the abs and the pecs. And the lats, whatever he needed touched. Did he commit a crime? Did I get a lawyer yet? I wish Kagan could give me a call. I need someone like Kagan, who comes from that kind of background, who comes from an ambulance chaser father, to call. Is there a lawsuit here by what Gore did with this masseuse? I'm trying to be serious now. I'm not trying to be overly comedic. I've done the heavy lifting already. I need to fly. I need to, you know, ride a little bit. Did Al Gore really commit a crime by wanting his adductors touched? Did he commit a crime by holding her too long on the way into the massage table? A hug that she said lasted too long. By moaning and groaning and telling her to go lower and getting angry, did he commit a crime? Did any of these? I don't see a crime any here, frankly. The best one, frankly, is the chakra thing. Play a little of the chakra thing and then we'll take a break.
He then tried another tactic as though he had very
hold it. I got to tell you, this voice, this is so clinical. This is so good. Doesn't it sound clinical? Like it's so, she's so neutral about it. You know, she was coached for 3 years. Some lawyer in Portland really got his teeth into this one. Go ahead, listen to this again.
He then tried another tactic as though he had very suddenly switched personalities and began in a pleading tone. Pleading for release of his second chakra there. There's so much tension being held. Yet another euphemism for sexual activity he was requesting, put cleverly as though it were a spiritual request or something. I was further deeply shocked and repulsed as my realization of what was happening sunk in, and especially as my mind was now reeling from this absolute betrayal by someone.
All right, betrayal, or she betrayed because he was going to save the world, and by kissing her or whatever, suddenly he was an animal. The 62-year-old sex poodle Gore grabbed her, kissed her, and pushed her onto a bed. Is that assault? Is grabbing her, kissing her, and pushing her onto a bed assault? I would think that 95...
to me.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, look, let's look at the two things. We got the two scandals. Look, I did the heavy lifting for an hour and a half of the show about Obama's dictatorial maneuvers. I talked about his blitzkrieg across the American landscape. We did that. But the Al Gore stuff with the chakras is, you can't walk away from this. Now the Gibson rant is unbelievable to me. But I want to say something. This bimbo, I think, is out of luck. Mel Gibson's bimbo may be out of luck because California does not allow audio taping without consent when not in a public place. And as much as I detest what he said, if it is true that he said these words, I believe that he's going to get away with a lawsuit. However, he's ruined already. So there's something wrong here for them to have released this, you know. Catherine in Missouri, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Good evening, Michael. Yeah, you Hi. Were asking about what is illegal here in terms of what Al Gore did.
Okay, and, the Al Gore masseuse case. Did he do anything illegal?
Yes, of course he did. Anytime there is what we call an unwanted touching, okay, that is the definition of... It can either be a civil action or a criminal action.
Help me as a man with this. You go to a masseuse. Where's inappropriate touching in a relationship with a masseuse, other than the real big obvious one, which she didn't say he did, that I know of? Did he touch her in an inappropriate way?
It's quite clear from the apparently from the police report, Michael, that he put his body on top of her. It's unclear whether he threw himself on her or not, but he held her down. Okay, that's an unwanted touching.
What if he claims that he slipped and fell on her?
Well, there are any number of things that...
you see, I got even a lawyer to laugh at the possibility. You know the law's crazier than people would imagine. I can guarantee you some people have gotten away with things like that by saying that they had a heart murmur and slipped.
Every day.
Right? Okay, so... We know how the legal system works, but aside from lying on top of her, did he actually do anything else that's violently illegal?
Well, it need not be violent. When he she alleges that she grabbed his
We
get into the area there of sexual harassment. We get into it's another battery because she
I think she said that he talked about the second chakra, and there's a lot of tension there. He got angry with. He began moaning and groaning, telling her to go lower, and Gore got angry, telling her she wasn't doing what he wanted. He shoved her hand under the sheet to his pubic area and said there in an angry tone, okay, that's it right there. That's like a crime against humanity, right?
No, it's not, but it is a battery. It's an unwanted touching.
Now, how often does this not happen in the massage world is what I'd like to know. I believe it's far more common than we're hearing here.
I'm sure you're right.
Right? I mean, what woman goes into the massage business? I'm not saying they all want
I think a reasonable person would certainly fear that if they go to a strange man's hotel room.
Yes. In other words, she's doing out calls. You know, maybe he assumed that there was more implied than not. You know, I'm sorry. There's a limit to how much we have to go through to destroy a person whose politics we may not like. But they're trying to turn this guy into Attila the Hun. And I have to say that if your wife ran around holding a camera day and night, I mean, you also might go to a hotel room and ask for an over-the-hill masseuse to come in and touch your second chakra. Well, that's it for now on the Savage Nation. There's much more to come. Be here or be nowhere.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
the Savage Nation. Little sleigh ride music from Leroy Anderson. Now, why am I thinking of Christmas in July? Because, man, with Obama, we sure need a Santa Claus. We sure need a Santa Claus with this revolutionary in the White House who does not stop. He is relentless. He is relentless. After pushing through all of his other illegal activities, and I consider them all illegal, the way he got the health care bill through, the way he seized General Motors, the way he bailed out AIG. Shall I go down the list? The way he foisted Elena Kagan upon us, knowing she's the least qualified member of the Supreme Court in history. A left-wing fanatic. But the next day, now he wants to grant amnesty to illegal aliens. He doesn't let America absorb the damage he's doing. He's relentless. His blitzkrieg is unending. You know, this is a political blitzkrieg. Obama has been engaging in a political blitzkrieg ever since he seized the White House. Do you know what a blitzkrieg is? I'll let you look it up. The police in Portland, Oregon, by the way, have reopened the case against Al Corleone in the sex attack alleged by a massage therapist in his hotel. A tabloid says Al Gore is a pervert and sexual predator, according to this masseuse. Now, the audio of her accusations have come out. Listen to what she describes Corleone doing.
I squirmed to try and get out of his grasp, telling him to stop, down several times, and I finally told him and said, "You're being a crazed sex poodle," hoping that he'd realize how weird he was being, yet he persisted. He was much stronger than me, bigger than me, and insistent. It was completely unnerving. And I realized that resistance was making him giggle and pursue more strongly.
Did you hear that? It's unbelievable. The move came after the massage therapist that accused Gore of mauling her in a hotel room in late 06 was identified as Molly Haggerty. I got to tell you this as a side note. I know you listen because this is one of the last places you can get real, honest, independent, conservative opinions and unfiltered news. And I want you to get the full impact of the Savage Nation. Go to TRN1.com, become a premium member, and get Savage Live, Savage Archives, and the Savage Podcast at TRN1.com. Click on my picture at TRN1.com today. Well, let's go to MichaelSavage.com. Former justice lawyer accuses Eric Holder. That's our esteemed attorney general of nixing a Black Panther case owing to race. Really? I'm shocked. Eric Holder, racially conscious? No. Did you read Kagan the Pagan on MichaelSavage.com? Well, it opens like this. Among Jewish people, there's a type of individual that Jews themselves call a bagel and lox Jew. I'll let you read on from there. Farrakhan charges Jews with anti-black behavior. And he wants repair of my people from the damage. He claims Jews have caused blacks for centuries. That's interesting. Really? What a brilliant man. He must be on the order of an Albert Einstein, I think. I think Farrakhan must be on the level of Albert Einstein. Read Phyllis Schlafly's essay, Constitution Endangered, if Kagan is okayed. And old Pelosi, what's she up to? She bars Republicans from an oil spill. Take a look at the doll who killed two cops in Tampa, Florida. He was out on an arrest warrant for having killed two other people. Actually, he's been on a murder spree, they say, ever since he was released from prison a few months ago. Thanks to the liberals and the media, he was released a few months ago. Obituaries gloss over Byrd's leadership in the Ku Klux Klan. You hear this? McChristelnacht, conduct unbecoming of a president. It's still up on MichaelSavage.com. Please don't miss the Healing Children Naturally proposal or ad on my website. It's written for you. A to Z natural approaches for natural complaints, available only on MichaelSavage.com. And while you're at it, I've put out some ringtones, yes, like Lexus liberals, corned beef commies, liberalism is a mental disorder. What does it mean? You know how your phone rings in a supermarket or wherever you are? Instead of ringing, it'll say, "Hey, pick up that phone. What are you, a Lexus liberal, corned beef commie?" I think it'd be a heck of a way to revolutionize America and counter Obama, don't you? It's all on MichaelSavage.com. Are you bored listening about Obama's misdeeds day after day? Are you tuning out of talk radio and television because of his blitzkrieg, even though you know that his blitzkrieg is wrong and that we're right on radio. Which would you rather listen to, another story about Obama or the sound of a dental drill? Do you dream of Christmas in the middle of summer? Would you rather have Christmas in July? I know I would. Today, Obama compared illegal aliens to Albert Einstein. Yet the last time I drove by Home Depot and looked at the day laborers, I frankly didn't see any budding physicists. Can you name one national company or one invention given to this nation by illegal aliens? The police in Oregon are reopening the Al Gore sex case. We've gone from a blue dress to checked pants in less than one generation. Liberal women, if you were attacked by Al Gore, would you keep silent about it for years because you thought your assailant could save the planet? Why does Kagan's demeaning comments about Jewish people resonate so viscerally with you? And what do you feel is the real reason Kagan was chosen by Obama for the Supreme Court? Russia to deliver armored vehicles to Palestinian Authority. Your friends in Russia will deliver 50 armored personnel carriers to the Palestinian Authority in the near future, a spokesman for Russia's foreign ministry said on Thursday. In the coming days, 50 armored personnel carriers will be delivered to Jordan and then will be handed over to Palestinian security forces in the West Bank, said Russia. Can you believe this? Moscow has also been increasing its effort of late to include Hamas, the Gaza Strip rival of Palestinian leader Hamas, in Middle East peace talks. Now, Hamas does not accept Israel's right to exist. So ask yourself, a friend of our enemy is our friend? Is that how that Arab saying goes? Or Russia's a friend of our enemy? But then again, wait a minute. Sorry, our enemy may not be the president's enemies. See, you're not thinking clearly. I'll be right back.
Savage.
And his weekly report on the shenanigans of the left coast, here is James Herson.
Larry King. Larry King is CNN's softball interview specialist. Well, he announced via his Twitter page, showing how hip he is, that he would hang up his suspenders and spend more time with his family. He's retiring. Announcing tonight, he tweeted, I'm ending my nightly show this fall, but continuing at CNN. Larry King is a really interesting guy. I mean, there's a lot of little-known factoids about Larry.
Well, like what?
Well, first of all, there's his name. He acquired the name Larry King when the general manager of a radio station he was working for said, hey, buddy, your name, at the time he was using Larry Zeger, he said, this name is too ethnic, it's too difficult to remember. So Larry picked up a newspaper and he looked at an ad for a local wholesale liquor company that was called King's Wholesale Liquor. And he started using the name Larry King. So he was inspired by a liquor company. You know, he was once a sportscaster. He handled the color commentary for the Miami Dolphins. His career almost ended when he was arrested for felony embezzlement.
Really?
And he got in trouble other ways, too. Back in 1990, Larry was a guest on the Joan Rivers Show, and he had been one of the judges for the latest Miss America pageant. And Rivers asked King which contestant in the pageant was the ugliest. And King responded, Miss Pennsylvania. He said she was one of the 10 finalists. She did a great ventriloquist bit. But he said the dummy was prettier. Now, he may have meant this as a joke, but it created an uproar, so much so that Larry had to send the Miss Pennsylvania, her name was Marla Wynn, a dozen long-stemmed roses and a telegram apologizing for saying that she was the ugliest contestant. King has been married 8 times to 7 women. And if you figure out the math, that doesn't quite work out unless he married one of these spouses twice, which happens to be the case. It was his third wife. Her name is Aileen Atkins. She was a Playboy bunny, so he marries the Playboy bunny. Then he divorces her, marries another woman, then remarries the Playboy bunny.
Hmm.
And lot of people don't know that Larry King intends to be cryogenically preserved.
What?
He wants his body or his brain frozen when he dies. And he wrote about this in his autobiography that's just titled My Remarkable Journey. And he said it on The Tonight Show.
Unbelievable.
He was born, as I mentioned, with a different name. He was Lawrence Harvey Zeger. He was born in November of 1933 in Brooklyn. His dad was an Austrian restaurant owner and defense plant worker, and his mom was a Russian garment worker. You know, he grew up in a very religious, very observant Jewish home. But when he became an adult, Larry said he became an agnostic. Part of it had to do with, in his past, his father died at the young age of 44 from heart disease, which forced his mother to go on welfare in order to support herself and her two sons. And, you know, his dad dying greatly affected Larry, and he lost interest in school. And after he got out of high school, he went to work to help support his family, but he was always interested in radio. And his career in broadcasting started as a Florida journalist and radio interviewer, and mainly in the 50s and 60s. You know, Larry, as a young guy, met a CBS staff announcer who gave him some advice. He said, Larry, move to Florida. If you go to Florida, an inexperienced guy like you can get a break. So Larry hopped on a bus, and he went to Miami, and he struggled, you know, and went knocking on doors and trying to get jobs. But he finally managed to get a job in radio, a typical first job. He was the manager, supposedly, of a small station in Miami Beach, but that meant that he did a lot of cleaning up, janitorial work, odd jobs, you know, messenger service, a little everything. But one day, one of their announcers quit, and they put this young guy, Larry King, on the air, and he was a disc jockey from 9 a.m. to noon, and did two afternoon newscasts and a sportscast. Do you know what his salary was? This was 1957. His salary was $55 a week.
Hmm.
But Larry's radio show in Miami then led to a local weekly television show. It was called Miami Undercover. And that's where he, you know, covered and analyzed the news and started interviewing people. And that local TV show grew thanks to help given by the legendary comedian Jackie Gleason. Now, Gleason had a very popular national television variety show at the time that was filmed unusually in Miami Beach. So Gleason advised King on the fine art of television. He redid King's set. He advised him on lighting. He appeared on Larry's show, and he became Larry King's mentor. And Gleason helped Larry book a huge guest for an interview on his show at that time, the very hard-to-get Frank Sinatra.
Wow.
Larry King became the color commentator for the Miami Dolphins during their 1970 and 71 season. But he was fired after he was arrested for grand larceny, after being accused of the crime by a former business partner. He lost that job. He lost his announcing jobs. He lost his weekly column at the Miami Beach Sun newspaper. And even though these charges were dropped in 1972, King had to spend the next several years trying to bring back his career. But a big break came when he ended up inheriting a nightly national talk show slot on what then was the Mutual Radio Network. It was the biggest radio network of the time. And the spot had belonged to a successful radio personality named Long John Neble. Now, Larry had once been an announcer at a small radio station in Hollywood, Florida, which was owned by a guy named C. Edward Little. And Little went on to become the president of the Mutual Broadcasting Company. So he hired Larry King when Neble passed away. And the rest is, of course, history. And Larry started his live CNN show in June of 1985. And now, after all these years and after 50,000 so interviews, Larry's retiring. Larry claims he has no say in the decision of who's going to get his job, but if it were up to him, he'd have the American Idol personality Ryan Seacrest take over. But some of the other names that are being considered to replace King are, let's say, disturbing. The View host and HLN leftomaniac Joy Behar's name has surfaced.
No.
And she sometimes sits in for King, and she turns the show into a Rosie O'Donnell blog for cable. Katie Couric is also being touted, but she would bring to CNN what she brought to the CBS Evening News, low ratings.
Ha ha.
Other candidates being talked about for the King gig include Howard Stern, Bill Maher, CNN anchor Anderson Cooper, and Piers Morgan, the mean judge on America's Got Talent and Britain's Got Talent, and a winner of Celebrity Apprentice, and he seems to be the lead candidate, which leads me to a question. Michael, do you own some suspenders? We sure'd like to see you behind that desk. Back to you, my friend.
Hey, thanks for the report, James.
Savage.
Joining us now with an exclusive Savage Nation report is Eric Stackelbeck.
Hey, Michael, always great to be here. Well, this week on the radical jihadist front in America, Michael, we have some good news and we have, of course, some bad news. I want to start out with the good news. I want to give listeners a little bit of backdrop on a guy that they may have heard of. He goes by the name, well, he's known by frequently as Son of Hamas. Now, that's the name of his new autobiographical book, Son of Hamas, detailing his journey, an amazing, incredible journey from being the son of a leading Hamas leader in the West Bank, one of Hamas's founders, being his son, being an heir apparent to being a Hamas leader. This guy, Son of Hamas, his real name is Mossab Hassan Youssef, actually left Hamas. Not only did he leave Hamas, Michael, he ended up working for Israeli intelligence for 10 years and spying on Hamas.
Wow.
Incredible, incredible story. Literally put his life on the line spying on Hamas. And secondly, he converted to Christianity out of Islam, which is a double death sentence in the West Bank, in the Muslim world, obviously. This guy was working for the Israelis, left Islam for Christianity, which makes him an apostate worthy of death among the likes of Hamas. So he was able to flee to the U.S. He put it all behind. He came here back in 2007. He settled out in California. He's been living here and speaking out forcefully against jihad, radical Islam, against Hamas. He's a friend of Israel. He's pro-Western, pro-American. I've interviewed him, Michael. He's one of the bravest people I've ever met, is Mossab Hassan Youssef. And he tells it like it is. He was on the inside a jihadist organization. He was weaned on anti-Israel, anti-American propaganda. His father, as I said, a founder of Hamas. So this guy knows it from the inside, came here to the U.S. Now, you would think, Michael, that the U.S. government would utilize him and pick his brain and get him out there as a voice, an anti-radicalization voice.
Sure.
But no. He finds out about a year ago that his request for asylum is denied by the U.S. government.
Are you kidding?
This hero, and I don't use that word lightly, this guy is a hero, had his request for asylum denied by the U.S. government. Not only that, Michael, he was under threat of deportation. Now, that's where the good news comes in. He had it. This is incredible. He had an immigration hearing yesterday in San Diego. Basically, he was under threat, if you can believe this, Michael, of being deported back to the West Bank. Now, obviously, the moment he got off the plane in the Middle East, he would have been tortured and killed. I mean, there's a death sentence on his head. His family, including his Hamas leader father, has disowned him. He's a wanted man, and he's probably not safe in this country. So the U.S. government, the Department of Homeland Security, was actually attempting to deport this man, where he would have faced certain death back to the Middle East. And I interviewed him, Michael. I said, hey, well, what a worst-case scenario, they deport you. What about Europe? He said, Europe? I might be in even bigger danger there with all the radical Muslims living in Europe right now and taking that continent over. So America is literally his only safe haven. He's a hero, pro-American, pro-Israeli, anti-jihad, yet the Department of Homeland Security, under this Obama administration, was ready to deport Mossab Hassan Youssef. Here's the good news. Thankfully, he gained asylum yesterday, Michael. Bravo. So happy about this. Mossab Hassan Youssef will be allowed to stay here in the United States. This courageous young guy will be allowed to stay here. So some sanity prevailed for once.
Exactly.
Now, it's going to be exciting to see what he can do. Now he's secure, he'll be here in the U.S. I'm eager to see what Mossab Hassan Youssef, who a lot of people know as Son of Hamas due to his best-selling book of the same name, I'll be very interested to see what he can accomplish. He's a strong, brave young guy, a smart guy. He knows this jihad ideology from the inside, being inside Hamas. So if the U.S. government plays their cards right, they can really utilize Mossab Hassan Youssef as an asset in this war against global jihad. But frankly, I wouldn't be surprised, Michael, if the Obama administration and Eric Holder are disappointed that he's being allowed to stay here. You know, in their ridiculous blind attempts to reach out to the Palestinians, they're probably afraid that they're going to alienate Hamas now that Mossab is allowed to stay here. But thank God he is allowed to stay here. So that's the good news we're going to start with, Michael. But shifting gears a bit to the bad news, which unfortunately in my field of work, national security, Islamic terrorism in the Middle East, more often than not, it is bad news. But this, again, centers right on American soil.
Well, what is that?
Coming up on July 11th, at the Chicago Marriott Oak Brook, which is just outside of Chicago, Illinois, on July 11th, a group called Hizbut Tahrir is going to hold a conference. The conference is titled Emerging World Order. Now, why is this troublesome, and who is Hizbut Tahrir? Well, Hizbut Tahrir is a very, very dangerous group, to say the least. They are a notorious global radical Islamist movement. Their whole goal is to establish an Islamic caliphate, which is a worldwide Islamic state. They want to restore the Islamic caliphate that was disbanded in 1924 after the Ottoman Empire collapsed. Hizbut Tahrir's whole goal, their stated goal is to subjugate the world to Islam. And not just, you know, some once a year at the mosque kind of Islam. Jihadist Islam is Hizbut Tahrir's goal.
Oh my God.
Once a government and a military have been installed, they want to spread Islam to the rest of the world. They condone violence against, and I'm quoting from Madeleine Gruen, who's a great counterterrorism investigator here, Michael. I'm just reading the piece she's written on this. The group Hizbut Tahrir condones violence against Western troops in Muslim countries and advocates the eradication of Israel. 9/11 mastermind Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is a former Hizbut Tahrir adherent. It's interesting. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, Michael, moved on from Hizbut Tahrir, eventually joined Al-Qaeda, became the mastermind of 9/11. A lot of guys who are in Hizbut Tahrir is kind of a conveyor belt. They are the starting point for guys who go into violent jihad. Hizbut Tahrir is the ideological kind of motivator in this violent jihad effort. So if you, it's kind of a stepping stone. We'll say Hizbut Tahrir is phase one. Al-Qaeda is phase two. That's the kind of organization this is. They're very, very dangerous. They've been banned in Germany. They've been banned in the Netherlands. They've been banned in Russia. They've even been banned in parts of the Middle East. Yet what do you know? They're going to be allowed to hold a major conference right here in the United States, outside of Chicago. Now, when I was in Great Britain a few months ago, Michael, and I also spent some time in Austria, I attempted to interview, they're a very secretive group, but I attempted to interview a leader of Hizbut Tahrir, a guy who's called for the eradication of Israel, and I got to tell you, I was almost in there, almost got him to sit down on camera. He's based in Austria. He's a leader of Hizbut Tahrir in Europe, where they have a big following. They're banned in some European countries, but they have a big following. Here, I have the email from him in front of me, Michael.
What did it say?
After he initially agreed to an interview with me, he must have Googled my name. He might have Googled a podcast from the Savage Nation of you and I talking about these issues. And here was the response I got from him. Mr. Stackelbeck, your viewpoints are far too anti-Islamic and far too pro-Israel to have a common, trustful base for an interview. I'm sorry, but I won't be able to do the interview. So, interesting. So I was very close to getting inside Hizbut Tahrir, inside the mind of one of their leaders, but it fell through because I'm a crusader Zionist in his view. So this group will be allowed to speak on U.S. soil and hold a conference, and they're promoting it very heavily on Facebook, on Twitter. They're very media savvy, these jihadists, I'll tell you. YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, they have a YouTube video, does Hizbut Tahrir, promoting this American conference, which is called Emerging World Order. The video promises it's going to be the dawn of a new era. Khalifa, or the caliphate, the worldwide Islamic state, is on the horizon. You know, it's a very intense video, music. It's really well done and slickly produced, and you could see how it could be attractive to some young Muslims here in the United States. Now, they also held the conference last year outside of Chicago. Once again, they had about 500 people there. There was pro-Sharia, pro-Islamic law kind of rhetoric, pro-jihad kind of rhetoric. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this conference goes down this year. This is the enemy within, Michael.
Well, I've been saying that for years on the Savage Nation.
This is downright subversion. It's subversive what they're doing, and they're trying to subvert the U.S. government. And to me, this is the bigger threat right now. Al-Qaeda, Hamas, Hezbollah, of course. The violent jihadists, of course. The more immediate threat, yes. But groups like Hizbut Tahrir, which are the ideological purveyors of jihad. There's always going to be the foot soldiers. There's always going to be the guys who are willing to blow themselves up. But groups like Hizbut Tahrir, groups like the Muslim Brotherhood, who you and I have discussed here several times, these are kind of what I call the soft jihadists. These are the guys who, they're the ideological brains behind the whole jihad operation. They're the guys who plant the ideas in the suicide bombers' heads. That's who these guys are, and to me, that makes them even more dangerous. They're the vanguard, the hierarchy of the global jihad movement, and they're going to host a conference right here in Chicago in the Midwest.
This is unbelievable to me. How could this be going on?
It's really unbelievable. It's really dangerous. I think this soft jihad movement, groups like the Brotherhood, groups like Hizbut Tahrir, are the biggest threat facing America's national security, obviously in tandem, you know, with the Obama administration in office doesn't help matters either, to say the least. But I think these soft jihad groups, and they're making inroads, as you and I have discussed here several times, Michael, you know, in every branch of the U.S. government, in the media, everywhere, and mosques are going up around this country from Tennessee to Staten Island to Ground Zero and beyond. Mosques with ties to the Muslim Brotherhood, so which is kind of a cousin, you could say, to Hizbut Tahrir. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out on July 11th, right outside of Chicago. You are going to have, Michael, we're going to have a situation on July 11th in the great American Midwest where a group that is dedicated to the overthrow of the American system, the eradication of Israel, and the establishment of a worldwide Islamic state is going to be hosting a conference in Chicago. It's some amazing times we're living in, Michael, as you know, but I will be back to update you on what I learn about this Hizbut Tahrir conference, and it's a group to keep an eye on for sure.
Thanks for the report, Eric.
Savage.
Other stories from michaelsavage.com are Obama's spiritual mentor, the Reverend Wright, who lives in a million-dollar mansion, is caught on tape praising Marxism. Here's another one. Now men have a perfect excuse to avoid shopping. It could make them impotent. Researchers have made the startling discovery that a gender-bending chemical compound is present on some receipts. Oh, God. I've always liked shopping myself. Connecticut is welcoming overtaxed executives from New York State. Even as New York lawmakers geared up to slam out-of-state hedge fund managers with $50 million in new taxes, Connecticut Governor Jody Rell was rolling out the welcome mat. Muslim father and brother charged over threat to kill Harry Potter star. You like that? See, it's a wonderful culture, bringing in people from around the world like that and trying to get them to become British. You know what they say? Well, I'll let you figure out what they say. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. That's some of the news. There's much more. Oh, I'm just getting warmed up. Here's a letter from a Savage friend. Dear Michael Savage, I'm cooking dinner for guests, or I call in to prove you're not alone in what you think about Elena Kagan's comment about Jews. I could not put my finger on why her comment made me so uncomfortable, but you nailed it. What she said is irreverent to Christmas, the holiest day of the Christian faith, and it makes all Jews sound secular, which is certainly untrue. As a matter of fact, religious Jews will dine with Christians on Christmas rather than go to a Chinese restaurant. You're the best. Thank you. Look, I know you worry about what's going on in Afghanistan, what's going on in the Gulf, and what's going on in the White House. But with all of that, you shouldn't have to worry about your computer on top of everything else. So go visit my advertisers at carbonite.com. They'll back up all your important files so they're safe no matter what happens. Use my offer code SAVAGE, and you're going to get 2 months free with your subscription. That's carbonite.com, offer code SAVAGE. The police in Portland, Oregon, you know why they call it Oregon? Because the aura has been gone a long time. It's been hollowed out. The police in Oregon have reopened the case against Al Gore and the sex attack, which has been alleged by a massage therapist in his hotel. She said he was like a sex-crazed poodle. The audio of her accusation has come out. Listen to what she describes Al Gore doing. We cannot confirm or deny this.
When I began doing the requested abdominal work on him, he became somewhat vocal with muffled moans, etc., and he began demanding that I go lower and massaging on the abdominal area. I was shocked, and I did not massage beyond what is considered a safe non-sexual area of the abdomen. He further insisted and acted angry, becoming verbally sharp and loud. I went into much deeper shock as I realized it appeared he was demanding sexual favors or sexual behaviors. I decided to declare I got so freaked I just got, but I got a tiny bit mad under my terror. I decided to clarify things by asking him, as he angrily complained that I was not doing what he wanted, for him to show me exactly what he wanted me to do, such as wearing a massage. I said, well, why don't you show me? Because I thought, this is too nuts. He grabbed my right hand hard, shoved it down under the sheet to his pubic hair area, and said to me, there, in a very sharp, loud, angry-sounding tone.
And from there, it just gets worse. I don't know, you think this is why Tipper ditched him?
I squirmed to try and get out of his grasp, telling him to stop, don't, several times, and I finally told him and said, you're being a crazy sex poodle, hoping that he'd realize how weird he was being, yet he persisted. He was much stronger than me, bigger than me, and insistent. It was completely unnerving, and I realized that resistance was making him giggle and pursue more strongly.
A sex-crazed poodle? That, frankly, is an insult to poodles. Well, if you look at the picture of this accuser, you have to question either her story or Gore's sanity? Well, there's no question about Gore's insanity anyway, or the insanity of what Obama is saying about illegal aliens. Listen to this.
Of course, the tensions around immigration are not new. On the one hand, we've always defined ourselves as a nation of immigrants, a nation that welcomes those willing to embrace America's precepts. Indeed, it is this constant flow of immigrants that helped to make America what it is. The scientific breakthroughs of Albert Einstein, the inventions of Nikola Tesla, the great ventures of Andrew Carnegie's U.S. Steel and Sergey Brin's Google Inc. All this was possible because of immigrants.
What are you saying, Mr. President? So the illegal aliens of today are on the level of Albert Einstein and Andrew Carnegie, both of whom came here legally, I like to remind you? By the way, and I suppose the pot smugglers from Mexico are going to start the next Forbes 500 company. Listen to him go on and on and on, prattling on. He even praises George W. Bush.
Despite the courageous leadership in the past shown by many Democrats and some Republicans, including, by the way, my predecessor, President Bush, this has been the custom. That is why a broken and dangerous system that offends our most basic American values is still in place.
You offend our basic values, Mr. President. Obama's amnesty, Einstein's. You know, Obama's out there pushing amnesty for illegal aliens once again. The man was not satisfied with nationalizing the banks. He's not satisfied with nationalizing the car industry. He wasn't satisfied with socialized medicine. He wasn't satisfied with foisting an unqualified candidate for the Supreme Court. The very next day, his blitzkrieg goes on.
Savage.